Hey, the last couple of days we've been looking at Psalm 71. And Psalm 71 is a psalm where the writer is telling us, as you go through the entirety, it's 24 verses long. And it's great. I'm only looking at a few of the verses and repeating those verses because I want to highlight a few things. But read the whole thing so you can get a feel for it and a flow for it. But basically, the writer is telling us that those who have planned his downfall, those who have planned his defeat, have already begun the process. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver him. So they've already started and initiated their plans to bring down the destruction of the psalm writer. And it goes on even in verse number 13 to say that let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Verse 14. So he's already said, this is what's happening. How many times in your life do you see something? The reality is, this is what's happening. Maybe the doctor has told you that this is what's happening in your body. Maybe your bank statement has told you that this is what's not happening in your finances. Maybe the mortgage hasn't been paid. Maybe there's something at your work where they're telling you that this job is no longer going to be yours. Maybe your spouse has told you this marriage is dead. You know, whatever the things are that have been spoken to you or that you see with your own natural eyes, and it appears destruction is on the way, your position and your situation is no different than the psalm writer here, who was saying that in the natural he could see the destruction that was already planned and was already being enacted. And yet, after he says this is what's happening, he's not denying the reality of what's happening. You know, sometimes in the body of Christ we act as though, well, we just pretend it's not happening. No, I'm not saying deny the reality of what's happening in the physical realm, in this natural world. But we need to understand that there is a greater reality, that's the spiritual realm. And here we see the psalm writer realizing that. He states what's happening, but then he also states what he believes to be true, what he knows to be true from the Word of God. And so he says, let those who are my adversaries of my soul, be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Then he says these words, but as for me, I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. And then he goes on to talk about that praise. Yesterday we looked at the last two verses in this psalm, and we see there that he continues with even stronger praise. He says, I'm going to praise you yet even more. We see that he does live up to that because he is praising him yet even more. There's strong praise in verse number 23. And then verse number 24. Now, nothing has changed in the natural, but something has changed inside of him. And he now knows and believes that the promises of God are greater than the realities that he's seen and experiencing. And he believes that which is impossible in the natural. He believes that which he can't even see, which is done in the spiritual, for him, he believes that. And that is going to take the place and displace the destruction that is the reality he's facing. And so you see the change in the psalm writer as he begins to praise God. He states what the truth is. He praises God. And in that praise, he comes to the place of knowing beyond doubt that his deliverance is assured. And the last phrase, the last verse, my tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated to seek to hurt me. He already knows. Before he's seen it, he knows. As he spoke earlier in the psalm, he knows that those who are trying to bring him harm and destroy him, shame has been brought to them, and they've been brought utterly to humiliation. When the enemy tries to bring things against you and against your life, you can either just receive it and accept it because, well, this is what's happening in the natural world, and I have no resources to stop it. Or you can say, I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. These are the promises that are for me. I am a believer. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ in all things. And so I believe your promises and start praising him for it. As we talked about yesterday, what that does is it stirs something inside of you. It stirs your faith. It's that praise and worship. When you start praising Jesus Christ, even before you see the promises come to pass, when you start praising Jesus Christ, that's when something changes inside of you and you're able to see past the natural and you see the supernatural, you believe the supernatural, and once you have that faith becomes reality in your world. And the things the enemy has tried to bring against you are defeated because they already are. Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan and all of the things that Satan could ever do against you. It's done. We bring that into reality by our words that we speak and by our words of praise as well. So this is what we've learned so far from Psalm 71. Now, I want to look at this in a little bit. We were talking about the praise yesterday. Today, I want to focus on another element because praise is very important. But I don't want to overlook another important element, which takes us back to the middle of the psalm. And again, the verses that I've been looking at have been basically 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and then verses 23 and 24, because it really gives us the overview of what's taking place. Someone's trying to bring destruction. Destruction is imminent. He puts his hope in God. He makes the determined choice, the determination, that he's going to praise God and then praise him all the more. And then we see the things change. Everything changes by the end of the psalm. Yesterday we talked about the praise. Today let's go back and look at what he says. So again, if I go back to verses 10, 11, and 12, he's talking about all the things that are already initiated against him to bring destruction, his destruction, by his enemies. And then he says, in verse number 13, he makes the statement, "Let those who are trying to bring him down, let them be ashamed and consumed, covered in reproach and dishonor." So that's what he's believing for. Those who are trying to destroy him will be exposed, and they'll be brought to defeat, to shame, and to dishonor because of what they tried to do against God's own. Now, you can stop right there and think about that. That right there in summation is you and your life. All the things the enemy is bringing against you, if he's trying to bring a health issue against you, if he's trying to bring a financial issue against you, a relationship, a job, whatever it is, whatever he's trying to bring against you, this is what it says. As the psalmist said, "Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Let them be ashamed and consumed." Guess what? Satan is already ashamed. He's already been defeated. He already is covered with reproach and dishonor. And as he tries to bring these things against you, if you stand on the word, if you follow the example of the psalm writer in Psalm 71, if you follow this example, you're going to get the same result. And the result that the psalm writer got was the ones who tried to bring defeat against him were brought to defeat, to shame, and dishonor. When you stand on the word of God and you praise him, and, as we'll look at in a moment, as you have hope in the promises of Jesus Christ, it enforces and brings about, it exposes the shame and the defeat that the enemy already has. And it exposes his shame and his defeat in his purposes against you. That's awesome. What we see right here, it's what you and I live every day. If we'll see it, believe it, and know this is a word, and this is a word showing us. This is the example for us. That's what the great part about the word of God. If you see someone else going through a trial, going through a difficulty, and you can see how they overcame, you don't have to go through the same experience. You can know that this is the same thing is true for you. You can do the same thing that the psalm writer did and start praising God and place your hope in him. And it brings about the defeat of Satan's already brought about. What he's planning against you is already defeated. But you bring it about, you enforce it, and you expose it as defeated as you have your hope in Jesus Christ and as you praise him even before you see it. Can you understand that? Can you see that? If you're going through something, then you are living the life of the writer of Psalm 71. Implement what he did. And watch how it turns things around. Now I want to focus on that hope element. In verse number 14 it says, "But as for me, I will hope continually." So he just got done saying that all of his enemies are trying to destroy him and bring him down. And he also says, "God, bring them to shame. Bring them to defeat. Bring them to dishonor because of what they're trying to do to me, your child." So he's already said those things. And then he says, "But as for me." He's not denying the reality of the efforts brought against him. He's not denying the reality, but he's saying, "But as for me, I will hope continually." He's seeing that they're trying to bring destruction. He's not denying that, but he says, "I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet evermore." We looked at the praise element. Let's look at the hope element. Because he's making a statement here, and he's saying, this is the reality that I see in the natural world, but here's my choice. I am choosing to hope continually in you. So what does it mean to hope? You know, hope is one of those words that we kind of throw around a lot. And, you know, we in our own natural sense, we kind of know that hope is, well, I'm hoping for something good. Well, I'm hoping that this will happen. You know, as a Cleveland Indians fan, I'm always hoping that they're going to have a good season. It's usually a frustrated hope, but there's a hope that's there. We understand hope. Hope is wanting and wishing and desiring that something that we want will take place. We hope for it. But hope is something different when you think about it in the context of the spiritual realities. And what the psalm writer of Psalm 71 is saying is he's putting his hope. So it's more than just, well, it would be nice if this worked out this way. That's how you and I usually look at hope. He's saying something more than, it would be nice if this worked out this way. He's saying something greater. He's saying, I am seeing, even though I can't see it yet, I am seeing the promises of God. And I'm anticipating. Hope is the anticipation of the promises of God coming to pass in our lives. Now, if we would go ahead to Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. Let's go back to verse number 17. This is talking about Abraham and talking about Abraham's faith. And it says, as it is written, about Abraham, being a father of many nations, I have made you, in the presence of him whom believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being those things which do not yet exist. So what is hope? Well, Paul's saying in his letter to the Romans that Abraham was exercising hope when he had a promise from God to be the father of many nations, and he was not yet the father of one. And yet he had that promise. And Abraham's hope was to look with anticipation into the future, not concerned about his present reality, not denying it, but not concerned about it because he was looking in anticipation into the future, and calling, because he knows that God is the one. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not yet exist. He knows that even though it was not existing in Abraham's life, he knows he's not the father of one. It is yet not a reality that he's the father of many nations, even one. And yet he knows that God calls into existence those things that are not. That's what God does. That's saying that things are already done. You're looking in hope and anticipation to the spiritual reality, to those things which are not yet done in the natural, but they are done in the spiritual. So hope is being able to see into the spiritual realm and to anticipate and have an expectancy for those things which are a reality for you already in the spiritual realm because of what Jesus has done. And then we call, as God does, we follow his example, we call into existence those things that don't even yet exist in the natural realm. It doesn't mean that we're creating something. God's the one who did it. Jesus did it for us already. Jesus did the work. The work is done. By our hope and by our words of praise, we bring that. Hope is seen into the spiritual realm with that sense of anticipation for what you know that God has already done and already established, what you know Jesus has established for you. Hope is looking and seeing that, and then by speaking it and praising it, you're bringing that from the spiritual realm into this natural reality. Verse number 18 says, and listen to this, we'll look at this more tomorrow. In hope against hope, he believed, talking about Abraham, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. I want you to think about this. It says that Abraham hoped against hope. He believed. In hope against hope, he believed. What does that mean? That sounds kind of contradictory and sounds confusing. Hope is being able to see into the spiritual realm with a sense of expectancy. It's looking beyond the natural and seeing what is already done for you in the spiritual realm with a sense of expectancy. And Abraham hoped against hope. In other words, there was no hope in the natural realm. So against the hope in the natural realm, which falters, he placed his hope in the promises of God. For you and I, against hope, things might look impossible in the natural realm. But rather than looking at the natural realm, against that hope, against your hope in the natural realm, against the hope in what the doctors can do or what your financial planner can do or what you can do in your own strength and abilities, against the hope of that which so often falls and fails and falls short, against that hope, like Abraham, we put our hope in the things of the spiritual realm. So it's against the hope of the natural, placing our hope in the spiritual realm, seeing those things which are already done in the spiritual realm. And then we begin the process of bringing it from the spiritual realm to the natural by our praise. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But read Psalm 71, because it can be a strength and an encouragement for you today to know that even in spite of what you may see and what might be the reality, just like the psalm writer in Psalm 71, destruction may be apparently imminent and already enacted, but it doesn't change the fact that there is victory in Jesus Christ and that you're an overcomer and he's already defeated the enemy. So even though it looks like the enemy is going to defeat you, we enforce the greater reality, the greater truth. We enforce what Jesus Christ has already done. And we do it the way the psalm writer did. He identified his hope in being able to see the promises of God, and he praised God. And it changed him, and in changing him, it brought about the reality of his victory. And those who planned against him were brought to shame and dishonor and defeat, just like he had said. If Satan's coming against you, stand in the hope. Put your hope in the promises that you haven't yet seen, but you know to be true. Praise Jesus for it, and you bring about, you enforce the defeat, the shame, and the dishonor of Satan's attacks against you. That's a great day.